Well, how did you come to be in church today? I imagine a number of us are here for the same reason that Ava Gabriel Family is here today. And that's, she is continuing in a long line of people who first came to church, like Benjamin and Gabriel, because their parents brought them. Today, All Saints Day, is the day we celebrate our ancestors in the faith. My ancestors, Anne and Richard, brought me, Bernice and Everett, my mother's ancestors, brought her. Grandma and Grandpa Wilson brought Everett. And that's as far back as I'm going because this is All Saints Day, not Ancestry.com. Just as our ancestors gave us physical blueprints that impact our bodies, they gave us a social imprint, a blueprint that impacts our lives. Good or bad, we're kind of stuck with our DNA, with that physical blueprint. There's not much we can do about it, although medical science is kind of amazing. And good or bad, we also develop under the social blueprint, the life choices that our cultural ancestors give us. Unlike DNA, however, no matter what social blueprint our ancestors used, eventually, are you listening, Ava? Eventually, we're each responsible for our own choices on how we live. One of the most serious tasks of being a human being on this planet, one that is unique to the human species, is choosing what kind of ancestor we're going to be. Some ancestors give the legacy of great beasts and demons and kings and powers that tell their progeny it's okay to exploit the planet and oppress God's people, that one human being can have what they want at another's expense. Our ancestors, the saints of the church, have given us an entirely different legacy, a blueprint of where we learn how to love, how to bless and support each other, to be a blessing to the world and to God's people. In the church, our ancestors gave us the gift of being the very body of Christ, teaching us that the best choice that we can make on how to live is to be part of God's plan and purpose, which is to stuff the world so full of love. And that's a lot of stuffing. That the world is transformed. Not just the church is transformed, but the whole planet. Our job is to stuff the world with love. Now, if we really believe that Christ is the destiny for all creation, and that this destiny is joy, peace, and freedom, abundance, hope for all the planet, if we really believe that God is God and that God's plan will be accomplished, that God's blueprint for us is the kind of peace, freedom, abundance, and hope that Jesus showed every day of his life among us, if we really believe that God cannot be stopped, even by death, if we really believe that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is totally capable not only of overcoming any punk wickedness that we can cook up, but empowering our lives, then why on earth would we choose to use any other blueprint than the life of Christ? Why fight against it? I mean, in the end, we're saying it won't work. But we have free will. We have free will. And because the world teaches us that greed is good, we can choose the world's way of grabbing for all the gusto we can get, and teach our progeny that the one who dies with the most toys wins. Or we can choose Jesus's way, the way of self-giving and loving our enemies. And we can teach that to our children as a way of entering the reign of God now, of having eternal life now, the life of the eternal one, not by and by after we die, but right now. Now, I can understand that the blueprint that Jesus lays out in the gospel lesson today may make some of us wonder if there really is any room for us. Now, if we're really, truly poor, hungry, weeping, and rejected, we'd hear his words today as good news. But if we're not poor and hungry, weeping, and rejected, those words of Jesus may seem a little harsh. But Jesus' words are never, ever uttered just to make us feel terrible. What's the point in that? Jesus' life on earth was spent as a rabbi, a master who teaches. Jesus says this stuff so that we can look at the actual blueprint we're using in our lives and see if it matches God's plan and purpose for our lives, which is to stuff the world with
love.
Which is to stuff the world with
love.
If our lives are not currently focused on God's plan and purpose, we have the freedom to change our blueprint. To change the blueprint we're using and do as God does. Using our riches to feed the poor, to use our strength to comfort the weeping and to welcome the hated. Why would we do this? Because it's what God has done for us. It's what God has done for us. I think I can say without too much argument, at least in church, that the creator of the universe, the Lord of sea and sky, the Alpha and Omega, the Father of glory, is not poor, hungry, or oppressed. God took heaven's divine riches and that life, that abundance, that power, and God gave them to us. God gave them to us. He gave us this planet. He gave us a breath of life. God gave us this astonishingly beautiful creation to enjoy. God gave us all the creatures, a huge variety of foods, and the resources to make homes. God gave us amazing minds, amazing minds. Y'all are amazing minds. Creative and unique among all the creatures. We can actually pattern our life and actively work with God to heal creation. We can actually see God's vision of God's will being done on earth as in heaven, and we can do that too. We can give as God gives, give good gifts, sharing, feeding, comforting, healing, and blessing each other as God is already doing for us. This life of doing God's will on earth as in heaven is the one God planned for all humanity to have, all creatures. When Jesus tells us how terrible things will be for us, he's not making a threat, he's doing a reality check. A selfish life that ignores others, that causes grief, woe, and damage to both creation and people will bring us remorse, terrible remorse. When on that last day, that day of the Lord, we look back at what we chose to do with the gifts that God gave us. Rabbi Jesus is teaching us to choose our blueprint for living now, right now, wherever we are in our span of days, whether we're right at the beginning or whether we actually have a pretty good idea of what number's left. We are given this choice, and it will spare us as much remorse as possible if we, to the best of our personal ability, have used God's blessing to be a blessing to both creation and people. Now, we may not have Rabbi Jesus physically here in front of us to teach us, but we have the church. As the letter to the Ephesians says, the church is Christ's body. The role of the church has always been to teach people to be like Jesus Christ. This is our blueprint. It's the blueprint that our ancestors in the faith have handed to us for 2,000 years. Now, the saints of the church are teaching us how to become great ancestors also, to pass on to our children and our children's children and our children's children's children a beautiful, clean planet, a social order of justice, peace, forgiveness, and wholeness. And we have a lesson plan for that. We have a lesson plan in the Episcopal Church that we use to explain God's blueprint. So, and it teaches us how to become great ancestors. And it's our baptismal covenant. We'll be using that with Ava in just a minute. But why don't y'all find your bulletins and turn to page 6. At Good Shepherd, on the day of a baptism, the day that someone chooses, like Mark and Melissa have done, to use God's blueprint for their life or for their child's life, we all show our solidarity by joining and recommitting to that covenant, that blueprint too. So in God's plan, his blueprint on page 6, we begin about a third of the way down. So we begin by renouncing Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. We renounce the evil powers of this world that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. We renounce sinful desires that draw us from the love of God. So that's what we're not going to do. Okay? We're going to turn away from those things. And then we turn another direction. We turn toward the life of Christ. We accept Him as our Savior. We put our whole trust in His grace and love. We promise to follow and obey Him as our Lord. Now, I guess it's a legit question to say, who is this God, this Lord and Savior? You know, there are lots of gods we can choose. Back to that free will thing. We can choose a lot of different gods. Which God are we following? Well, that's why we have a creed. It describes our God. So down at the bottom, now creed comes from a Latin word. It means credo, which literally means I love. I love. Okay? I give my heart. We love the God who created the cosmos and shares it with us as our home. We love the God who shares His life with us and whom death cannot stop. We love the God who shares His power with us, whose very spirit that empowers us and blesses us to be a blessing to the world and everything in it. And then how do we bless the world? We'll turn it over. And that's the next part of the lesson plan. It's a tough lesson in many ways because God's plan and purpose is in direct opposition to the current social blueprint of selfishness, oppression, and exploitation that the powers of wickedness and evil want to impose on us. So we commit to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the prayers and the breaking bread. We gather with saints, that's us, who came before us. They're all here. It's a very crowded church. You don't even have a clue how crowded this is. Saints who came before us and the saints gathered now in hope and joy. We commit to resisting evil. And we examine, that means we examine fearlessly how we currently choose to live and match it against the life of Christ. We match it against God's will and we change what we need to change. And we can remember that God is not just the God of second chances, but of 70 times 70 chances. And those chances are renewed every single day. We commit to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve God in Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, to strive in justice and peace among all people, to respect the dignity of every human being. The Christian ethic, moral ethic, not the gospel, but Christian moral ethic imperative is to treat each other like we want to be treated. Do you know how fast the world would change if we actually did that? We keep learning from our Rabbi Jesus and all the saints past and present of the ways to be the body of Christ, Christ's hands and feet of treating each other the way we want to be treated, to be a blessing to all people, not just those like us, even our enemies. Like Christ, we are here to stop the cycle of violence. It's only with God's help and power we can even try to hope to do this. In a world whose social blueprint depends so much on death to control us. Like I said, though, God's power vanquished death. So God has this, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God has this. This morning, we can choose to join all the saints in stuffing the world with
love.
Not only in being disciples today, but great ancestors to the children of God who won't be here for many, many, many tomorrows.